W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Boston's declared a snow emergency and could get a foot of snow from a major winter storm tomorrow. Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey.
Dangerous driving conditions with low visibility, snow accumulating quickly, and this will be a heavy and wet snow.
Schools are closed tomorrow in Boston. Classes in New York will be remote. President Biden met with Jordan's King Abdullah today at the White House.
As the King and I discussed today, the United States is working on a hostage deal between Israel and Hamas, which would bring an immediate and sustained period of calm to Gaza for at least 6 weeks.
The Pentagon's keeping close tabs on Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who could resume his duties tomorrow after getting hospitalized for bladder issues. Major General Pat Ryder.
This was a statement from his doctors explaining that they expect that he'll be able to resume his normal duties. Again, we'll keep you updated on whether that includes from the hospital or if that is from home.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers may pass Governor Evers' bill to redraw Wisconsin's legislative district boundaries before wrapping up their work for the spring. Evers tells WISN-TV's Upfront that if they do, he would sign it.
I have great doubts that that could happen. But if my maps are approved by the legislature, of course I'd sign them.
Observers say Evers' map is better for Republicans than any version that may come out of the state Supreme Court. Meanwhile, a leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Bocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, February 13th. The Town of Rome will hold their Plan Commission public hearing from 4 to 5. The Village of Port Edwards board meeting will take place at 7 p.m. at the Marshall Buehler Center. In Portage County, the Central Wisconsin Joint Airport board meeting will begin at 8 a.m. The meeting will take place in Conference Room B in the East Terminal upper level in Mosinee. The Village of Whiting will hold their board meeting at 6. In Adams County, the solid waste meeting will take place from 4 to 6 at the Adams County Courthouse. Yesterday was 211 Day in Wisconsin Rapids. United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties responded to 4,382 requests for help in 2023. This support is available 24/7, 365 days a year, connecting you to needed resources and assistance in our community. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime to become only the second team in over 20 years to win back-to-back NFL championships. Patrick Mahomes named the game's most valuable player, and what made the difference for Kansas City?
The attitude of the team, it's special, and I'm proud of the guys, man. I mean, we battled through and through all the way through the playoffs into the Super Bowl, and just like our whole season, it came down to the last play.
Tight end Travis Kelce caught on video shoving and yelling at Coach Andy Reid before halftime when the team was struggling.
You know, he bumps into me, I get after him, and we understand that. He loves to play the game. He wants to help his team win. It's not a selfish thing.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan on losing again to the Chiefs in a Super Bowl.
I mean, I heard the most for the players. Those are the guys. I mean, can't tell you guys how long it takes to get here. Our guys, I heard for the most.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. From Super Bowl 58, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs mid-30s. Mostly cloudy in mid-40s Wednesday. A rain or snow shower possible in the late afternoon and evening. Then Thursday, clearing back out, cooler, high low 30s. It's 39 right now.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Now it's Monday, educated educators talking education. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789. Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl for all of you football people out there. Johnny Lupinacci, did you win money or did you lose money?
Oh, Tim, I can't disclose that on this, but, you know, I lost money earlier in the season on my team, but I mean, I think I gained it all back. I had an early bet on the Chiefs. Like you maybe have mentioned in previous shows, it's hard to not roll the dice with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And so, you know, while I'm not a big fan, I think they did pretty good for me last night. So,
yeah, well, good. So you knew where you should be and who you should support. Yeah. Watching the game, 2 minutes, you know, to go like that, you give Mahomes the ball and that's it. He will find a way to win. Which
I mean,
why
it was exciting though. I mean, there were a lot of ways to lose it too. So
yeah,
I was
a lot of ways
to go to overtime. And I'm still trying to figure out how we don't have Monday as a holiday yet in this country.
the Monday after Super Bowl?
Oh, God. I remember teaching in the classroom. I mean, I popped into a couple of classrooms today and saw, you know, kids pretty tired, teachers pretty tired. And it's like, come on, can't we just have this be one of those Mondays?
Well, you know, well, it's like the Monday after Thanksgiving in Pennsylvania for the longest time, which is deer hunting season, you know, nobody would come to school anyway. They finally did make that a holiday, though, believe it or not, in more states. So if you can have the opening day of deer season off, Johnny, I agree with you. I think we should have the day after the Super Bowl off. It just makes sense. Oh, here we are. Busted Pencils, though. Again, 844-967-2789. Monday night, if you're just jumping in, though, and going, wait a minute, Busted Pencils tonight, 6 o'clock? Really? How did that happen? Hey, we've been telling you for the last 2 weeks, it is Busted Pencils Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And now, from now on, 6 p.m. Yeah. 6 p.m. Central every evening. Adjust your clock if you're Eastern, if you're Mountain, if you're Pacific, figure it out. 6 o'clock though Central time every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is our new spot on Civic Media, and this is really exciting. It's been exciting that we've gone to 5 days a week, and now we're in our new time slot following the Devil's Advocates. Really, Johnny, we are situated in a nice spot.
Well, now, you know, we don't have to wait an entire week because we always have such exciting guests and really awesome stuff to talk about with our listeners and our callers. So without any more ado, Tim, why don't we introduce our guests?
I've got to introduce our guests. I mean, so I'll just go right with, you know, she's a Las Vegas native, mother to 2 adult children, aunt to 21 nieces and nephews, fur mom to 2 dogs and 3 cats. She's a newcomer to the political arena. She came in first of 9 candidates for school board trustee or school board member during the 2018 primary elections and defeated the establishment candidate in the general election. During her 4 years as a school board member, she witnessed the questionable spending of over $20 billion. She had a front row seat to the complex power plays. In November of 2022, she launched her podcast, Unraveling Education, to expose covert operations happening within the Clark County School District and empower the community to fight back. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Danielle Ford. How are you, Danielle?
Thank you. Thank you. That was quite an introduction. I am so happy to be here. I've been following you guys for a while. And when you reached out to be a guest, I was like, yes, when?
Well, when you said yes, we were like, yes, she said yes. This is one of those, you know. Okay, so Danielle, a little bit, be just a background biography. So you're no longer a school board member. You're doing the podcast, Unraveling Education, and we'll talk about that. But what brings you, a mom, into the arena to even want to be a school board member? I mean, what's happening in Las Vegas? Give us a little bit of the origin story. What makes you wake up one day and say, I'm getting involved?
Well, I was involved with my kids and my kids' school. So, you know, I went to CCSD schools my entire life, and I ended up leaving early, graduating with my GED a year early. So technically drop out. And, you know, I felt like the system failed me as a student in many ways. When my kids, you know, got into CCSD, I was on the PTO, leading Cub Scouts. I was, you know, asking about the budget, started a snack shack. You know, so many things, like, for instance, I wanted to, you know, maybe go to Whole Foods or partner with, you know, home kitchens and give healthy options. And it was like, no, we can't do that because, you know, an apple is too many grams of sugar, but these sour gummy worms of this many is okay. And then it's like, well, who chooses the contracts? How does this happen? And then I learned, oh, it's the school board that makes those decisions. So I was like, oh, when does that happen? Okay, I'll go sign up. And it was pretty impulsive, actually. I was like, I think I can do this. And I ended up, it was the biggest race at that time of all school board seats with 10 people in the race. And so most people thought I didn't have a chance and kind of ignored me until I came in first in the primary election.
So that part first, oh my God, there's a whole other, you just brought up something, the school lunches, the politics of school lunches there, an apple and sugar gummy. I know, man, there are so many things there. But so Danielle, in this sense, you're a mom, you're involved in the school, and these questions pop up as you just see them there. And so this idea, you're like, how do I get involved? Well, you go right to it though. You're like, well, I'm doing the PTO, I'm doing the Cub Scouts. Let's just get on the school board and become a school trustee.
Something I did not know. So when I entered the race, I didn't have any, I have no education background. I didn't have any political experience other than just like being interested in it in theory, conceptually. Wasn't involved in any political groups. I'm true nonpartisan. I don't like either party. I learned during my election that people, they do not want newcomers. It's like you're offending the status quo, the good guys and the bad guys, or whatever your opinions are. Everybody has these groups that are already like have it figured out who's going to be in the next seat. And they have been prepping people, and they've been looking for the last couple of years of who might run. And you basically, like, what you should do is join some committees and get some appointed positions and join some caucuses and like start asking around, would I have support from all the political groups if I were to run? I had no idea. I didn't get any endorsements. You know what I had? Voters support. That's nice. All you need.
Right. Democracy in action, man. Tim, this is my favorite story to hear is, you know, we talk about it all the time. Education is a matter for all members of our community, and in a democracy, that's one of the beautiful things about the way things are run, is that your voice not only matters, but it counts, and voters know that. And that's the important thing about education, is we have a stake in it. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, thank you for throwing your hat in there and digging in and, you know, and being part of that process. It's a huge thing.
Thank you. Hey,
look at that. Steven from Green Bay, you're on the phone with Busted Pencil. Steven, what's happening? You're on with our guest, Danielle Ford. Hey, Steven.
First of all, I'd like to say I think it's wonderful that you're on at 6, because at, when we were on at 7, I could not listen to you. I was getting ready to go to bed, but now I can listen to you on a daily basis, so that is a good
love
thing.
Love it. Love it, man. Thank you. Thank you.
With that being said, anytime I hear a woman running for anything, whether it's school board, president, city council, whatever it is, I have to, you know, tip my hat to them, because we definitely need more women in politics. I know school board technically isn't politics as usual, but it still is politics running for school board. And, yeah, you know, it's important who is on those, in those seats making decisions for your children, what they can learn, what they can't learn, what the curriculum is. I was actually in high school. I left the brick and mortar school and I went to a virtual school, and it made me appreciate the brick and mortar model so much more going to a virtual school, because all the things I took for granted, like a teacher being there to help me, was no longer there. And I just think school, the brick and mortar sense of going to a building and having someone there to interact with, is so very important for kids to have. And so, you know, the stuff going on right now where people are trying to get rid of that and take funding away from that, when they say that, they are taking money not from us, but they're taking money from our children's futures, and that cannot happen.
No, Stephen, thank you. Really appreciate it. Danielle, I mean, tell us what you, with Stephen there in the call, all those things that you learned, and is he striking something that you're like, oh my God, Stephen, if you only knew?
You know, I absolutely agree with Stephen. In fact, it's not necessarily about students. Even everyone's like, it's about the kids. Of course, we love kids. We want to take care of kids, of course. But it's about the future. It's about future adults. It's about society. And so when people are trying to take tax dollars away for their kids right now because they want their kids to have whatever, that's not what the public money is for. It's to build a society of humans, of adults that are going to be productive and happy and, you know, make the future better. So I think he's spot on. And that's a really big conversation and something to, you know, help people understand, is that it's about society as a whole and not just about every individual student.
I'd say the one thing, though, too, Stephen, and again, really appreciate your call, and I'm glad that we moved to 6 so that you don't have to go to bed before, you know,
that's,
you
can listen to us.
I don't know if you're going to be able to go to sleep, though. Yeah, how's he going to be able to sleep after Busted Pencils, though? Now, we're going to be causing his insomnia. But at this point, though, looking at, you know, being politics, I would say that entering into school board races anywhere now across America is your first step into politics. In fact, we would,
it's such an effective step, Tim. I want to put it out there that it's such an effective way to get involved in one of the most important investments we can all make in democracy, in this civic process. It's our schools. I just want to put that out there. And I give Stephen a lot of props. Thanks for calling, Stephen, but thanks for echoing and amplifying how important it is, not only when people run for politics, but especially when we have women and their voices represented strong in the most important, I throw it on all the time, school board's the most important politics we have locally, and that trickles all the way up.
You know what, though? I'm just going to say really quick, I kind of disagree. It was an all-female board, and I was like, we could use some men on here.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, though? Think of that, though. Danielle, wait, we're going to have to talk about that when we come back from the break. All-female board. Wait a minute. Okay. Stephen, though, thank you for the call. Our guest from the Unraveling Education Podcast, Danielle Ford. More when we get back.
We will not witness this anymore.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
At One Rose Greenhouse in Wisconsin Rapids, when we think Valentine's Day, we think one rose or a dozen. You love them. From the show-stopping table centerpieces, the variety of long-stem roses, bouquets, and more, your loved one will not be disappointed. Plus, enter your love story on their Facebook page for a chance to win a bouquet for your honey. This Valentine's Day, stop by One Rose Greenhouse on Samson Street in Wisconsin Rapids for all your flower needs. And remember, one rose or a dozen. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on locally grown radio WFHR and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
That's why you came back there. Came back for
that's kind
more.
Of a cool reason to like watch, to like see the behind the scenes and whatnot.
Exactly, exactly. Like, so we're just talking about.
It's what we were talking about. So if you're busting pencils right now on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, YouTube, yes, you are looking at, you know, the faces of busted pencils and our great guest, Danielle Ford from the Unraveling podcast. She was a school board member, school board trustee, as they say in Las Vegas. One of the top vote getter in 2018. And Stephen called in and gave big kudos because being a woman and jumping into politics, and Johnny was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Danielle, right before the break though, you were like, well, I got to disagree a little bit. So what about the dynamics of the school board you were on then? Give us a little bit about that.
It was without getting too much in the backstory, because it is drama, but it was an all-female board and a male superintendent who I just did not get along with right out the gates. And there was so many times, honestly, the entire 4 years, I was labeled like catty and dramatic. And so many times I was like, if I was a man saying exactly what I just said, very straightforwardly pointing out what this dude is doing and exactly how he, you know, is swindling taxpayers or whatever it is, they'd be like, wow, okay, this is a leader. This is a very well-researched man. But because I'm a female, it's like, oh, she has it out for him. Oh, she just doesn't like him. I'm like, no, I literally just gave you facts and you're all choosing to just follow your biases or whatever your opinion is about me. It doesn't matter. So I ran into a lot of that kind of stuff. And there were so many times I was like, if there was a dude on this board, I would just work through him. I would like puppeteer him and I would be like, here's what I need you to say. And then they'll listen to you. Like even the women too, like the women on the board responded well to the superintendent and any men that came in and told us what to do. Strange.
And
Johnny, I'm looking at you. Yeah, that's fascinating, right?
Leadership, not only in politics, but you know, all of us teachers listening to this, we've had that similar experience in schools, especially in elementary ed, where there are less male presence in there. And then we tend to fast track them to principal or constantly go down and be like, can you handle this behavior problem? Or can you talk to this person about this? It's like we do gender in such a way that, it, like Danielle reminds us, it's not always just enough or the right thing to have all women in one space, right? While there's, I will argue there's likely to be better ideas, but that's my bias for the women in this world. But that said, it doesn't make things perfect. There's still a lot of work to do. And the ways that we gender, especially give power to voice, can be a huge problem. So both those things got to be worked on at the same time.
It's kind of like you always want to aim for the diversity of your population. So it's like 51% women, 49% men. So really a split board would be actual like representative of the community.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle, so Las Vegas, Clark County, you said, this is, you know, for anybody, this is a huge school district. I think I was reading here, fifth largest school district in the country.
When I joined, there was 320,000 students. When I left, there was 300 students, because that's how many the superintendent ran out to charter schools. But it's another story.
That's huge. So you're making, back to Stephen, to potentially recognize Stephen's in Green Bay, Wisconsin, they're usually doing more of the school districts, dealing with localities. And so the idea of moving into a different state, Nevada, is where you're doing counties like that. And I see that across the country, you know, some places they do the little township. And so you have a high school, an elementary school, and a middle school. And that's the quote school district. And then But what you're talking about there too, that's an incredible amount of responsibility to think that you were going to be, and I'll just say it, as a school board member, a school board trustee, you have all of those children's and the community members' future. You're making decisions for them.
It's absolutely crippling. It was, when I left the board, honestly, I was just like, felt so defeated. And also it was during COVID. So that's a whole other layer of chaos and things. But to see somebody who I, you know, believe to not have the best intentions for staff or students or the district or the community, and to just not be able to do anything about it except for, you know, sound the alarms as much as I could. It was honestly just so soul crushing.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to call, jump in, give us a call. Danielle Ford, she is the host of her own podcast, Unraveling Education. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're still talking about her adventures school boarding. And Johnny, I had an adventure in school boarding, and that didn't work out so well, because I told Danielle about this when we were doing the pre-interview. A school district I went, you know, we had an opening, and I said, well, I can do it. You know, I've been a second grade teacher, a fifth grade teacher. I've worked with, you know, all these. And I went and put my name in the hat because this was a special election. And I got told before the election that I wasn't going to get the vote because, well, you know, I'm a liberal atheist socialist who was out to the only reason I wanted to get on the board was to do away with the Christmas play. So
that's what they told you?
Yes, yes.
That's what you get for being the local curmudgeon, Tim. I mean, it is really political. And it's more than an adventure, too. I want to highlight it's a civic duty, and it's a way of, I mean, we always talk about in democracy how important it is to vote. But beyond that, we all have a voice, too. And so getting involved in local politics, getting involved in things like school board, it's part of our civic duty. It's, you know, L.A. Tom calls all the time and reminds us, you know, we are government for the people, by the people. And so when people take on that responsibility and take a big chunk of their time and their energy to help make something like our schools better, right? It's really important work to recognize as, you know, civic engagement. Tim, sorry, it didn't work out for you, but also just that process, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's so important to engage and to be, you know, a litmus for what is the political landscape of our school board races? What are the things that determine these positions? And how do those maybe even exaggerated stereotypes of your politics, Tim, that don't really, I know you pretty well, you know, and I know that you're not out to end the Christmas play.
But I like Christmas.
Also a big advocate for, you know, like Danielle talked about, like diversity in our schools, and that maybe there is more than Christmas than that our young people and families are also celebrating right around that time of year. And so I think you would be an excellent, you know, voice to remind us of there's a lot happening in our schools and diversity is really important. That probably got spun into Tim's, you know, an atheist socialist trying to, you know, convert all these kids to Marxism.
Well, my biggest problem was that I was, you know, I was a college professor, which is a guarantee that all of those other things are true. I mean, because it's a well-known fact. Danielle, though, I mean, we're going to be keeping you here because we want to talk about the podcast. We want to talk very specifically, too, about one of the episodes of the podcast about the history of school boards. Because, you know, what we're trying to do here every night now is we're educating everybody who's listening in the idea of school boards and that first entry. And hey, guess what? We're on civic media. It's the civic duty to do this type of work. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. More with Danielle Ford when we get back.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service confirms last week's storm in south-central Wisconsin produced two tornadoes. One was an EF1 in Greene County, and the other was an EF2 tornado that touched down near Evansville. They were the first-ever tornadoes in Wisconsin in February. Postal workers want better pay and bigger staffs to reduce turnover. Gary Davis of the American Postal Workers Union says small rural post offices are hit the hardest.